This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Renee Flaherty with us on the program. Renee is an attorney with the Institute for Justice, the nation's leading legal advocacy group for school choice, and is one of the attorneys involved in the legal defense of North Carolina's Opportunity Scholarships. Now, this is an educational scholarship grant program enacted by the North Carolina General Assembly in 2013 that is aimed at providing more school choice options for children in lower-income families, especially when the child's parent believes the child's educational interest would be best served by attending a private or religious school. The program is currently being challenged by two separate lawsuits, and Renee is here to talk with us today about those lawsuits, the current status of the case, and why North Carolina's school choice program is, in fact, constitutional. Renee, it's great to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Mr. Rustin. Thank you.
Well, please call me John, and thanks for your time. As I mentioned, North Carolina's Opportunity Scholarship Program is being challenged in two separate lawsuits, and a Wake County Superior Court judge recently put the program on hold while these lawsuits proceed. If you would, Renee, tell us about the lawsuits, the groups behind them, and what they are essentially seeking to do.
Sure. These lawsuits are about North Carolina families and their right to choose what's best for their children, you know, and to send them to a school that works for them. The Opportunity Scholarship Program is one of the best designed school choice programs in the country. It's actually got 4,700 applications for 2,400 slots, and that's unprecedented in the school choice movement. And these lawsuits are trying to derail this program, which has built so much momentum and, you know, our time to disrupt the program before it even starts, to disrupt it right after they get the applications in and before they can start notifying families. And this was a critical period, and the Teachers Association and the school boards have brought the lawsuits because they're afraid of losing low-income kids to private schools. They're afraid of competing with private schools. Because if low-income families are allowed, because of programs like the Opportunity Scholarship Program, to go to private schools, then the public schools won't be able to take them for granted anymore. And so the Institute for Justice is fighting with two parents who wish to take part in the program, who have applied for scholarships, so that their voices can be heard, because the parents' voices, the families' voices, are the most important ones.
And that seems to be very consistent with the heart of school choice programs in and of themselves, that it really is an opportunity for parents and for those students to act on their choice and select the educational opportunities that are best suited for them. And clearly, many of the children and the parents of the children who are seeking these opportunity scholarships do not believe that North Carolina's public schools are serving their best interest.
Yes, that's correct. And we have two clients, Cynthia Perry and Janelle Curry. And, you know, they both want to send their kids to private schools. Ms. Perry, Cynthia, has a daughter named Faith. She's 8 years old and is in the second grade in public schools. And she suffers from reading comprehension issues and ADHD. And, you know, Cynthia's been very involved in her education and has done everything she can up until now, but Faith has had to attend summer school twice, and she's really been struggling. And Cynthia wants to send her to a private school because they have smaller class sizes so that she can get, you know, kind of one-on-one attention that she needs. And Cynthia can't afford to send Faith to private school on her own, so when she heard about the Opportunity Scholarship Program, she was really excited because it gave her hope. Much like Janelle Curry, our second client, she has four kids that she's trying to send through school. And her kids actually have been in private school, but she, you know, she was unhappy with the public schools, so she moved her children to private schools. But then because of a change in financial circumstances, she had to put them back in the public schools. And two of her sons now are still in school and want to go back to the private school because they were really happy there. One of her sons is actually academically gifted and felt like he's not being challenged enough in the public schools, and he was thriving at the private school. Janelle's other son is a talented athlete, and he was thriving both academically and athletically at the private school and naturally wants to go back. And Janelle can't afford to send two kids to private school, so she was very excited about the program as well.
Well, thank you for sharing the background about the families that are specifically and directly involved in this case. I think that's really helpful for our listeners to understand. Often when we hear about school choice, it gets caught up in the notion that these are all just political issues, and they are not. They are issues that have real lives and real families behind them. As you mentioned, the Institute for Justice has been involved in a number of school choice cases across the country and has successfully defended school choice programs similar to that being debated in North Carolina now. Talk about those cases, if you would, and how they relate to this case that you're dealing with here in North Carolina.
Sure. I think the two most similar programs are one in Ohio and one in Indiana. And actually, around this time last year, the Institute for Justice had a huge victory in the Indiana Supreme Court, upholding a similar scholarship program for low-income families. And it was actually a similar attack to that the Teachers Association and the school boards are using in the North Carolina cases, saying that absolutely no public funds can go to benefit private schools in any way. But the Indiana Supreme Court disagreed and upheld the program. So that was a huge victory for IJ and for the school choice movement. And the other program was actually an even bigger victory, the Ohio program, because that one went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court in Zelman v. Simmons-Harris. This was also a very similar program, but it was a little bit different in that it was only for inner-city kids in Cleveland, whereas North Carolina's program is a statewide program. In Zelman v. Simmons-Harris, the Cleveland program was challenged on both state constitutional and federal grounds, and it was upheld at the state level at the Ohio Supreme Court and then went on to the U.S. Supreme Court, where it was upheld. The U.S. Supreme Court held that even though some of the money was going toward ultimately religious schools, that didn't mean the program was illegal.
Well, in addition to these school choice programs in other states that have been enacted and some of those have been challenged, there have also been some relevant legal cases in North Carolina that actually help bolster the constitutionality of the Opportunity Scholarship Program. Can you talk a little bit about those cases and how they relate to the present case?
You're right. The program is definitely supported by North Carolina case law. Let me think of a couple. There's an older case, the Del Conte case. This was back in 1985, and the North Carolina courts held that North Carolina families can send their kids to public schools, private schools, or homeschool them, and that any of those options satisfies North Carolina's requirement that every child be educated. And as a result of that case, North Carolina has a thriving and vibrant marketplace of private schools, over 700, I think, and plenty of families who homeschool their children. So that's because of the Del Conte case. And another one is the Sugar Creek case. And this case specifically had to deal with the funding of charter schools. But in the process of some technicalities about charter schools not being able to get some very specific local county funds, the North Carolina Court of Appeals held that the state can create other educational programs in other schools that are funded differently from the traditional public schools. And the Opportunity Scholarship Program is one of those other educational programs.
Now, are the arguments that the other side is using that are essentially attacking the funding of the program as unconstitutional, is that the sole basis of their arguments, or are there other matters that they are arguing to try to overturn the Opportunity Scholarships?
Well, their main argument is about the funding, which, as I said earlier, basically boils down to absolutely no public funds can be spent in any way that helps private schools. And to that, we have two responses. First of all, the money is not going to private schools. The money is for the benefit of the parents. The parents get to choose which school it goes to, and the money is, for empowering empowering parents. I think a helpful analogy would be like saying Medicare is for the benefit of the hospitals and the doctors and not the patients. So that's our first response. And our second response is that, you know, yes, there are some funds that are set aside by the North Carolina General Assembly to only fund public schools, and those funds can't be used to help private schools in any way, however indirect. But this program is not being funded from those funds. It's being funded through general revenue. As for the other claims in both the lawsuits, they are frankly a little, you know, even more attenuated than the funding argument. There are some claims that the private schools aren't sufficiently regulated, don't have the right curriculum requirements or the right licensing requirements for the teachers and that kind of thing, and that as a result, kids that go to these private schools aren't receiving an adequate education. And that claim is definitely baseless because the system of public schools is still available. You know, this program is completely voluntary. Any parent who sends their child to a private school with an opportunity scholarship and who is dissatisfied can immediately take their child out of the private school and put them back in public schools. And another claim that has been made in this lawsuit is that the private schools that are a part of the program are allowed to discriminate in their admissions policies, which is frankly absolutely baseless because private schools are prohibited from discriminating on the basis of race by federal law.
Well, we have argued for years that school choice programs offer the highest level of accountability. And just as you have said, if the parents are displeased with the education or services that their children are receiving, they simply leave. And so I think that the accountability is built in to school choice just by its very nature. Now, Renee, the Institution of Justice, I imagine, probably would not have gotten involved in defending North Carolina's school choice program unless you thought you had a good chance of success. Do you believe that North Carolina's Opportunity Scholarship Program can withstand the legal challenges? And if so, why?
Absolutely, we do. We're very confident. Even if we have to take it all the way up to the North Carolina Supreme Court, we think we'll prevail. And we think we'll prevail in lifting the preliminary injunction because we really want this program to keep its momentum and keep going while we fight it in the courts. You know, it may take a long time to actually get it resolved. So it's very important that we immediately appeal the injunction, and that's what we're going to do.
Can you talk a little bit about then about the future of this case and the next steps in it? And also, what does it mean for the 4,700 applicants that are waiting to hear if they have been accepted into the program? And what would you say to those parents who are waiting to hear definitively whether or not they're going to have the opportunity to use these opportunity scholarships?
Well, unfortunately, we've got over 4,700 families that will have to be in limbo for an unknown period of time because the courts can take a very long time. And that's why, like I said before, we're going to immediately appeal the preliminary injunction. And that could move a bit quicker. So our goal is to get that lifted and then proceed with the rest of the lawsuit up to the North Carolina Supreme Court if we need to. But as for the families, the program could be on hold for a couple of years. But we are absolutely fighting, and we're confident that ultimately we're going to prevail. And I know Cynthia and Janelle aren't going to give up.
Well, certainly, and I know there are a lot of families out there, as is evidenced by the number of applications that were submitted and the number of people and students that are waiting to hear that there is a great deal of interest in this. So we so much appreciate the work that y'all are doing, your involvement in this case, your willingness to stand on behalf of these parents and argue for the Opportunity Scholarship Grant Program. Renee, we're nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to learn more about the cases that we have been discussing today and about the Institute for Justice?
Sure, and thank you so much for having me, and thank you to other North Carolina organizations and your own that are promoting this program. And anyone who's interested can go to the Institute for Justice's website. It's ij.org, and we're also on Facebook, and you can see some lovely videos of our client, Cynthia.
Renee Flaherty, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters. This has been a very insightful discussion. Again, we so much appreciate the work that you all are doing, the expertise that you bring to this issue, and we are very hopeful and prayerful that we will see a very similar result here in North Carolina.
Well, thank you so much.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.